Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are on End Times Friday, and this will be airing on January the 1st, so the very end of the month. We're taping this a couple weeks before, but we're close. And man, you talk about things happening.
There's a lot going on in the world right now.
there is a lot going on that we'll bring people up to date on, and then we'll talk about, again, it's even more so, the need to not be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much going on, and the interpretation of what's going on is what I call moving into the spin zone of, here's how I'm going to interpret for you what's going on.
Right.
And God just says, well, don't be deceived, and think of the simplicity of it is, if we're not going to be deceived, what is it that we want?
We need to know truth.
We need to know the truth.
Yeah.
And the only way to get the truth, God says, is what?
Ask him.
Ask him. And so it's more so because of what's going on that we need to really understand the truth of, first of all, what's going on? How do we understand it? What, Father, would you like us to personally take the steps for ourselves, just for ourselves, and then for ours around us, and then for us to communicate with others, their opportunity to keep getting truth as well. And since we have some input on truth, it's not that we say we know the truth and here's the truth. It's that here's what we've received. Now you keep going to God and continue to receive truth. And by the way, the more we do that as a community, the better we'll have the insight and the truth, both for us personally, but also globally, of, well, what really is going on?
Right.
And God promises, says, I'll give you the truth if you just have a heart to receive
right,
it. You know,
so
we're going to keep talking about this issue of deception and how to work through it. What do we do with it? But let me bring us up to date on a few things that have happened. This is mid-January when we're taping this. There is, and this is prior to the inauguration of Trump. So by the time this airs, that will have already have occurred, and probably the outcome of some of the things we're talking about will have occurred too. But there's right now a close to a signing of a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in Gaza.
That when we're taping this is set to potentially go in force on Sunday. And so in just a few days from our taping.
Right. And then what it would mean is that there would be a release of hostages back to Israel and back to U.S. because there's some U.S. citizens there. The release of prisoners from Israel back to Hamas, which is a kind of a concern for Israel, because the reason they're prisoners is they tried to kill people, you know. And
yeah, I was wondering if we have any profile. Like, I don't read anything. You know, you talk about they're going to exchange X number of hostages for, I think it was like 1,100. Palestinian prisoners. And I was curious what they are imprisoned for, you know, and no one seems to be talking about that. So I don't know if you have read anything, but I have.
That's a big issue of Israel is I'm releasing terrorists back into a process where they can come back against us.
Right.
Right now they can't.
You just spent the last over a year now trying to destroy the terrorists.
That's right. That's right. So that's a concern. But for the sake of the ceasefire and the terms, which is, you know, there won't be a rearming. And that's where Hamas, you know, right now it looks like it'll be signed, but Hamas is backing off. Is that I don't want right now it's geared up for a 6 to 8 week ceasefire.
Because this is kind of in stages that they're rolling things out. Right?
Well, it would be the agreement.
Okay.
At the end of that 6 to 8 weeks, if there's terrorist activity on the part of Hamas, Israel has the right to go in and just start the war over up again. And that's what they're saying. Hey, we don't want that. So, well, let's have a permanent ceasefire. But Israel isn't going to agree to a permanent ceasefire. Only conditions that if you don't get to a point where you're coming back against us. If we see you're coming back against us, we're coming after you.
Right.
Now, interesting enough, that's what was agreed to with Hezbollah, is that you got to go back behind the what's called the Etani River. There's a neutral zone in between. You can't go back into that neutral zone, which is what they did, by the way, and caused all the trouble. And if you're far enough back, you can't lob basically surface missiles.
Right.
Into northern Israel so we can have our citizens return to their homes. And they said, if you agree to that, we'll stop coming after you. And by the way, they've already decimated Hezbollah. Okay, Hezbollah said, okay. And there's a condition which Hezbollah agreed to, that if they start to arm up and go back into that place where they can attack Israel, Israel has the right to come after them. Now, it doesn't mean they won't, and they'll do it in a different way, but at least they agreed to that.
Okay.
That's going to be the condition for Hamas to agree that we'll do a 6-week. If you don't arm up and come keep getting to a point where you're going to come after us, we'll extend that ceasefire. But if you arm up and start getting ready to come against us, we're coming after you again.
Right.
And we're not going to honor any period beyond that 6 weeks. So that's the sticky point right now. Of it. Now, as you look at the question is, why would they now agree to a ceasefire when they hadn't for so many months? And there's three things that have happened. One, Israel defeated Hezbollah.
Right.
And Hezbollah agreed to this terms and okay, we're gonna go back and we're not going to attack you anymore at the moment. And they decimated their leadership and they were taking out their supplies. So they said, hey, if you keep going, we're going to get worse decimated. So we'll stop. We'll agree. So Hezbollah got defeated. Syria, the regime in Syria, which are the Shiites, got removed. Interesting enough, not because of Israel, but because of what was going on within the country. And rebels within Syria said, we don't want to live like this anymore. And we're going to force you out. And they did. Now, the replacement government is Shiite, and they haven't lost their desire to eliminate Israel.
Okay.
But they said, for practical reasons, you know what? Let's just not attack each other, and we won't attack you, and you don't attack us. And how about that? And they said, okay, that's fine. They'll do that. So Syria was removed from the equation.
Okay.
Iran is having their own problem, so that Hamas, which was being supplied by and helped by Hezbollah in Syria, no longer have that input at the moment. And Iran is struggling with, you know, what are we going to do with you anyway? Because we got our own problems of trying to protect ourselves. And the third thing, which is probably one of the most significant things, is Trump, who's going to be inaugurated here in a few days, said, if you don't resolve this prior to my inauguration, I'm coming after you. And I'm going to support Israel to come after you. And we're going to go get our hostages and we're just going to decimate you completely. And we're going to bring the force of America behind it. And so they know that. And they don't have an administration that looks the other way. It's going to be nowhere. We're messing with the United States.
Seriously now. Yeah.
So maybe we should go ahead and agree to something that they have. And then I believe, and this is what I believe, is that they went to Hezbollah and said, how did you handle your ceasefire? And Hezbollah told them, well, we agreed to basically settle things down and not come after them so that, now remember, this is internal to Muslim to Muslim, so that we could work on rearming. Don't worry, we still are coming after Israel. But we're just going to take a pause in this right now and come up with a different strategy while we rebuild our leadership and our capability.
Right.
And hey, Hamas, you'd be smart to go ahead and agree to a ceasefire and give yourself time to rebuild and come up with a different strategy. And so I think they heard that from Hezbollah, and knowing that what Trump was going to do and where they were, I think I would predict that they'll come to an agreement of some kind. It would surprise me if they don't. Now, Hamas hasn't been a very effective, let's say, have high integrity with what they say they're going to do. So they could deceive everybody. But they also have said, well, there are certain things I won't do, which is why we won't do a ceasefire. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. So that's happening on the, and we'll, by the way, next, we're going to tape next week with Eric and Rabbi.
Yes.
And we'll ask them all these questions, and then they'll air at the first week of February. So stay tuned for that, because that information is coming, and we'll get the real scoop.
Right. And by the time we tape with them, Trump will actually have been inaugurated as well.
He will have been inaugurated the day before. So we'll be ready to go on that. And then we'll have that information. And then in the United States, you know, there was a kind of a euphoria economically that Trump was going to come in and everything's going to be, economy's going to be really much better. But there's a lot of, maybe not. Mm-hmm. And the maybe not is because of the structural issues that's going on. Like inflation continues to grow, and it doesn't look like the feds are gonna really whack it to try to get it back with lower rates, because mm-hmm. they really can't. So that may be a continued problem. That and remember what Casey Mulligan said is that's sucking out the marginal income of people,
right?
Which is really the impact on the economy. And we'll have him on. By the way, he is in a place where things are happening relative to him that will be interesting to understand as time goes on about his role in certain things. So that'll be fun to get him back on.
Yes, yeah.
And have him give us an update. The debt is really a problem. National debt, it's not lessening, it's increasing dramatically. We're at $34 trillion and growing. Probably Trump, even though he's going to try to cut expenses, I don't think we'll have a gigantic impact on that. Matter of fact, he proposed that they just eliminate the debt ceiling.
Right.
Which
there has been lots of talk of through several administrations, actually talking about at least having that on the table, mostly to avoid shutdowns.
Exactly. So that it takes away that restriction, mm-hmm. so that we don't have this constant problem every year,
right.
of we got to raise the debt ceiling. If we don't, we're going to shut down. Why don't we just eliminate the debt ceiling and we'll never have to shut down? We can just borrow as much as we want. So he may be one that actually promotes debt. Mm-hmm. So we'll see on that. And then, I know people have, you know, by the time this airs again, the California wildfires are massive. And it's the estimate of damage, and it hasn't even completed yet, is $150 billion worth of damage to houses and businesses. And by the way, there's a ripple effect. Think of, you know, just, and this is just a simple example. In California, they pay people to take care of your yards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no yards.
Right.
So those people aren't going to have income to take care of them, because there's nothing to take care of at the moment. So that business is going to suffer dramatically. Well, think of all of those, all the impact of the ripple mm-hmm. effect of all this. And because of it, there's going to be a shortage of labor for rebuilding. There's going to be a shortage of materials, which could impact national costs. And the insurance industry is going to go through dramatic change, where they're already talking about the premiums in California are going to skyrocket already more than they are.
Right.
And maybe nationally.
Right. Well, there's definitely a housing crisis, obviously, now in California as well, and some issues with rent gouging, even though it, you know, they have put a legal ban on that, but it's still going on. And so issues like that for everyone across the board up there.
Right.
Too.
That's so right.
It's an interesting impact that affects everybody, regardless of whether they were a victim of the fire or not. Right.
That's right. Yeah. And I've talked to some California executives out there. They've started to actually hold what they call all hands meetings about their businesses, as what is this going to mean for our demand here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the way from, you know, builders to developers to just regular businesses, of our cost, our insurance cost, how's that going to impact us? And they're looking at, and we talked about this with this group, that they're not sure what to do about it,
mm-hmm.
And where it's going to go. And what I told them, it's interesting because of what you and I are doing. I said, well, number one, what do you need to know?
What God has to say about this.
The truth.
Yeah.
And I said, you have an enigma, you know, you have complicated things, because you don't know the impact of this yet, mm-hmm. but you know it's going to impact you.
Right.
So I said, if you're a believer and you have a business, I think you ought to go talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
He'll let you know.
Right.
And he'll guide you to the truth. He'll guide you to the covenant. I have an answer for you. And the key, I said, don't be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
And that means keep going till God says, this is true. Now here's my instruction for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so this aspect of deceiving, being deceived, is easy, And it's going to become more important not to be deceived.
Right.
And to pursue it. So let's look at some scripture and then we'll apply it. So go to, I think it's Romans 16 and 17 to 20.
Sure. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Yeah. So he actually lays it out and says, you know, don't be deceived by flattering words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so think about what do people with, quote, flattering words do with the information they have?
They manipulate it. To kind of say what they want it to say, or the message they want to deliver, or
they
what
manipulate
they think
it
want to hear.
For a purpose to persuade you mm-hmm. to follow what they would say is, here's my path that I'd like mm-hmm. you to follow. And flattering words are deceptive words that spin the truth for the
right.
benefit of somebody. And he said, if I can get people to believe it, then they'll support, you know, what I'm saying, even though it's not true. And he says, pay real attention to that. Is don't let other people dictate what you are to understand as truth. Come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he lays out. He says, you know, thank goodness, if you have a heart, you'll understand the good,
mm-hmm.
the truth, my path, what I have for you, how I want you to respond to this information, and you will have a clarity about evil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so think of what is the definition. Now, we tend to think evil is, well, that's Satan and dark and demonic. And God says, actually, the word is different than that. It's things that are going to irritate, frustrate, and annoy you that aren't true.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to show you how to discern the untrue and avoid it as you pursue the good
mm-hmm.
in my path for you, which is going to be good. And that's what God's trying to help people understand is that, is the world going to get more complicated? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to get way more tricky? Yep. Is there tremendous uncertainty coming up? Yep. Don't fall into the trap that just because a new administration is coming, that everything's going to fall in place and everything's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, maybe not. And you got to be careful here. Don't let anybody spin it for you.
Right.
But rather, Father, what's the truth about that? So that as we look at the debt level, as we look at the inflation level, as we look at marginal income, as we look at unemployment, help us understand the truth of it, particularly as it relates to my business.
Mm-hmm.
And as I talked to these executives with California, I said, now 2 weeks ago, what did you think?
Mm-hmm.
We thought this. I said, is that different today? Yeah. Why? Something happened.
Right.
They didn't cause it. They couldn't have predicted it. And they certainly couldn't have imagined the magnitude of it.
Mm-hmm.
So because of the new piece of information, I said, now you got to go pursue the truth and the impact on your business. It's a global impact, but it's going to have impact on your personal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Father, help me understand the global impact. And by the way, remember, adversity is not to be ignored and to say, well, it doesn't matter. And God, mm-hmm. just take care of me. I'll see you later. He says, no, I need you to understand what's going on here.
Right.
And the impact it's going to have on your business. So I said, you got to pursue that and start developing. What do you know? What do you know? What do you know? And now what? And then what instruction does God give you? And we talked briefly about it, you know, just on the surface of, they said, here's a few things we know. I said, okay, so what do you think is some of the opportunities for you? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It could be to shut the whole thing down. I said, okay. I said, let me give you a few thoughts about it, of pursuing God's answers, you know. And this is a commercial real estate developer,
mm-hmm.
Is one of them. And he made a statement that the project we have here in our geography, which is not up in the California area or the Los Angeles area, means we're going to have a problem with labor.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a problem with supplies, and the costs are going to go up.
Right.
And maybe our project isn't going to work. I said, okay, so what do you need to know? The truth about all that.
Mm-hmm.
Put it all together. And I said, as you do that, what's your question to God?
What do you have to say about this?
What do you have to say, and under what conditions would this work? Mm-hmm. Well, there's a truth to that, see? Pursue that truth. And I said, now, here's something interesting to consider. Maybe the project that you have on the books isn't going to work where you are at the moment. Mm-hmm. But you have skill. You have capability. You have ability to do certain things. Maybe you're supposed to go up there and do it up there.
Oh, interesting.
And he says, huh, yeah. That's, and I said, now, I'm not telling you that's God's answer.
Right.
But I'm telling you.
Go ask him about it.
That maybe he'll give you creative ideas, mm-hmm. Of what he wants you to do next. So I said, I do know one thing. He wants to bless you with the covenant. Mm-hmm. And he has an answer that you don't know.
Right.
And if you pursue it, you'll say, oh, this is what he wants us to do or how he wants it. Including, I say, he could be just to say, you know what? At the moment, don't do that project where you are. And I'll have you do something else. Or maybe I'll just have you hold the cash and invest the cash until something else happens. I said, I do know he's going to bless you. Mm-hmm. And it'll be good. And every path of God says pleasant. We know that. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't look very pleasant.
Right.
But if you have a heart to go, go. Okay. So as we look at this, he says, if you have a heart to in the middle of this, is don't be deceived. Don't let other people tell you what you want to hear or what they want you to hear, mm-hmm. but rather go to God and I'll show you the truth of the good and I'll show you how to avoid the evil. And the evil is to move you away from God's path. Mm-hmm. And you get caught up because you think, I guess it'll be okay, but it really isn't. And God says, I got to show you that if you have a heart to go. And that's what we're trying to encourage everybody is that it's going to get trickier and trickier. There's still the desire for putting forth one world government is in play. And that's and how am I to understand what's going to happen here in the next three, particularly the next 3 months, mm-hmm. and things like the California fire that just happened that have an impact? How do you want me to understand it? And the key is, he says, don't be lazy. Mm-hmm. Take the time to pursue it. And by the way, get some good people around you that can help you process it, because it's not to be done individually. It's rather to be done in your community.
Right.
And because of your network, like in my network, see, I can reach out to people like Casey Mulligan, for example. Mm-hmm. Hey, Casey, here's what I'm seeing. Could you help me understand this? Mm-hmm. I don't even have to have the answer, because maybe God's given him wisdom to give to us.
Right.
You see how beautiful
that
it is.
That beautiful way that he brings people together and communicates through the Holy Spirit in each of us to each other, right?
That's right. That's right. So you don't have to do it by yourself, but you have to go after it. Mm-hmm. Until what? Help me understand it. What do I understand? Is it true? Now what? God says, isn't that joyful? Mm-hmm. And I say, yeah, it is. And by the way, he says, I enjoy it.
Right.
Are you enjoying it? Why? You get to be with me who knows the answer.
Right.
And the complication of it, the difficulty of it, the overwhelming potential of it may not work, that God says, it doesn't bother me at all. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, I can get you through it.
Right.
So it's kind of fun.
It's fun. Even as we just talk about all these things, and I know it's about time to wrap up, but I just wanted to highlight something else that we're seeing in the midst of all this. I think it's easy sometimes to look at the impact of what's going on in the chaos, the fires, yep. the wars, all of these things. But it is also equally important to keep our eyes on what God is doing and moving in the midst of it. And, you know, people I know in California right now, what I am hearing that the churches are doing,
yes.
how they are stepping up, how they are ministering. They are being the visible expression of the invisible God, and they are meeting needs, and they are on the ground, and people are coming in droves to the church and asking and seeking and looking. And so we can see the chaos and very quickly think, woe is me, I live in this horrible world. Or we can also look at it and see God is waking people up. He is calling them to himself. And if it takes a little bit of pain and a little bit of difficulty on our side for people to come to know him, hallelujah, let's go.
Right.
You know, because like you said, he's going to lead us through. When we're seeking him, he's going to lead us through. He's going to protect. He's going to provide. We need to stay with him on that path, but also recognizing that he has an agenda in all of this that will bring people to his feet.
Yep,
and exactly. So enjoying that in the midst of the chaos, asking him how we can join in the work that he's doing in the lives and souls of other people is a huge part of this as well.
Amen to that. Yep. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we do praise you and thank you for that you will provide, you will give us answers, and that you can make all things work together for good. Mm-hmm. And there's no limit to that. And even in California right now, it's devastating. It's awful. The implications are just overwhelming. And we feel for that. And so we just pray that how can we assist and what are you up to with the churches there to invite people to yourself, and particularly believers that have a heart to hear, to receive your answers, your instruction. And we pray that none of us would be deceived, but rather continue to seek truth. And you promise to give it to us and lead us to the good path. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much, Rich. And thank you for joining us, everyone. If you have questions from today's podcast, be sure to send it in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.